For those of you who have not met me before, I am Pastor Kelly Hicks. I'm the discipleship pastor here with our middle school and high school ministry. I really help out in those areas. And I'm also the director of San Diego School of Ministry, which you may have gotten one of these whenever you walked through the door. I'm very excited about this morning's service because I know you guys have heard about the School of Ministry and you knew that we launched it in October, but maybe we haven't really got to see it. And this morning, you're going to be able to see it. You're going to see the impact in the ministry that these students do. I'm so excited about that because it's one thing to know about something. It's another thing to see something. So San Diego School of Ministry and the church at Rancho Bernardo has such a heart to train up the next generation of pastors and leaders. And that's what we are doing through San Diego School of Ministry. Yeah. And I just want to be clear, our heart is not just for those that want to work in the church full time or maybe be a missionary on the missions field. We want to reach those that want to be doctors, nurses, maybe you want to be a businessman, or maybe you want to be a wife. We believe that every single person needs a foundation in God to be able to fully walk out their calling. And that's happening through San Diego School of Ministry. Through the School of Ministry, you get intense discipleship, you're getting hands-on training, and you are working towards a bachelor's degree through West Coast Bible College and Seminary, a fully accredited bachelor's degree. And another thing about the School of Ministry that is so important to us is that for those of you that are parents and never put anyone through college, you know that's very expensive. And we want to make sure that our people are being able to step out into their calling debt-free. It's very important to us. And one of the ways that we do that is through providing free housing. And maybe you wonder, how do you provide free housing? You live in San Diego, Kelly. You've lost your mind. But I haven't lost my mind. It's through a ministry called Home Openers. Home Openers are families who open up their homes, or even an individual who opens their home. You just have to have a little hospitality, a little love, and well, an extra bed is kind of helpful. They will sleep on the couch, but we'd rather have a bed. Let's just make that clear. Well, we have a lot of families who maybe you didn't know this year actually housed our interns. We had 6 interns this year, and families in this church housed those interns. You'll see their names on the screen. And if you're here and you're a home opener, thank you. If you're a home opener and you're here today, would you just stand really quick? We'd love to recognize you and thank you for your ministry. See, we could not do what we do without our home openers. It would be impossible to do that. And I can say I've been a part of Schools of Ministry for 7 years, and I've experienced every side of it, including living with a home opener. And it impacted my life in such a way. They became my second family, my home away from home. Because see, when I went to School of Ministry, it was my first time moving away from home, as is the case for many of our students. And I could stand here and tell you story after story, but I want you to hear from one of our home opener families, their story.
When Becca first came, she was a little bit on the shy side, of course, not knowing who we were as individuals and as a family. And she's actually, now that she's gotten to know us, she's actually grown, not only within herself, but we've grown as a family as well, getting to know her. The other thing is just her spirit in doing what she's doing and going to school and becoming who she is. It's just awesome to watch her grow the way that she's grown. And we couldn't be any prouder.
And I enjoy hearing the excitement in her voice when she talks about preparing for skits that they have to do for the high school class. And when they're bringing young teens to a relationship with Christ, that's really the exciting part of seeing that she's able to help in that manner too. And so seeing her grow and mature and being able to do that in a better way.
It's just a comfort to know that, like, even though I'm like 3,000 miles away from home, I still have a family that loves me and is looking out for me just like my parents would at home. And I know that it's a comfort to my parents at home too, to know that they're here watching out for me and protecting me, and that my mom and dad don't have to worry so much because they've got my back.
I would say if you have the time, which is like an 8-month commitment, if you've got the room, you've got the space, not only do you as a family grow, but you get to help somebody else grow in their development and in their journey. You get to watch them walk down and be the best that they can be in what they're doing. So yes, I recommend anybody that is able to do this, please step up. It is an awesome, awesome experience.
Home Openers, it is an amazing ministry. Tyann and I, we've been married for 20 years, and we have been home openers for 20 years. We've had somebody in our house each and every time. It's mostly a good experience. Let's be honest. We have had so many different types of personalities. I remember one young lady dropped, this is no lie, dropped the laundry at Tyann's feet. She had never done laundry in her entire life. It was like, Tyann? Like, nuh-uh. We had to teach her character. We had to teach her some discipline things. We've had people come into our home that were perfect, and it was like, wow, they befriended our boys, and they were like sisters, and many of them, they call their sisters at this point. We had one guy who we housed just for a little while, and this wasn't really a home opener situation. It was one of my friends, and he left hair all over the bathroom, and so he didn't last that long. Tyann's like, that's not going to happen. Let's get him out of here. So it's mostly a good experience, but I'll be honest. Anything that's mostly a good experience is better than what most of our experiences in general. They are going to bless you, and you are going to bless them. Not all of us are called into full-time ministry at a church, but we are all called by God to do something with our lives. And if you have a spare room, opening it up, they travel so much. They're not there all the time. They can't sit down with dinner with you all the time. But what happens is you start seeing a young person that comes in and they're excited. Imagine somebody says this, I want to give 8 to 9 months of my life to Jesus Christ. I want to be prepared for my life. So they're coming in with the right motives. And we give them an opportunity to grow here at CRB. And maybe in your home, there's a brochure that was handed to you. It has San Diego School of Ministry on the front. There's a little perforated area that you can tear out. And there's in the lobby, there is a desk that has a San Diego School of Ministry logo and stuff. You can bring it to Kelly and say, hey, I'm just interested in hearing about what a home opener is. Just fill your name and your number out. And she'll give you a call. Talk to you. We try to line those guys up and gals up so that they fit in your home, and it's a great, great opportunity experience. We only had 6 this year. We're going to have 15 or 16 next year. So we do. We need twice as many homes, and this is how we give them an education, and most of them graduate completely debt free. They have their bachelor's degree. A lot of them transfer their credits into junior colleges and colleges. We have a police chief, we have doctors, we have lawyers that have graduated out of this ministry. And as I said, we have been home openers for 20 years, and I believe in this ministry so much that my firstborn son, Cody, is going to be a first-year student in this school of ministry next year. He's gifted. He's called by God. He's an evangelist. He's led more people one-on-one to the Lord than I have. That's the proudest thing as a father I could ever, ever see in a young man. And he told me, Dad, one day I'm going to be the youth pastor here. I'm going to do a better job than you. You know what? As a dad, anybody else tells me that, I might have a physical discussion with them. But when your son tells you that, you're like, yeah, I want you to do better than me. I like that. And so that means technically for 21 years in a row, we'll be home openers since we'll be housing our son who is going through the ministry. But there won't be a stranger, which will be weird in a good way. So anyway, San Diego School of Ministry. This morning, you've come at a wonderful time because they're going to share their testimonies. We're talking about two things. The blood of Jesus Christ and the power of testimonies. And the word says the two most powerful things that we have is the blood of Jesus Christ and the power of our personal testimonies. I want you just for a second to act like you're not in church, all right? We're not in church. We are going to provide you a tool that we do on the streets or we do in schools. Imagine that we have went out and did outreaches all over the city, and you're in a high school, local area high school right now. You're not in a church, because this is kind of raw. This is kind of in your face. It's kind of loud. It's got that music that some of us are going to put our fingers in our ear. I never understood that until a couple years ago, and I'm like, oh, I don't understand this music. But it's that kind of music with a theme. And the theme is, people are bound in bondage, and only Jesus Christ can break the chains. We have people come in off the streets that were drug dealers, that have been addicted to painkillers. We have young ladies that have been abused and molested and need healed. When we go to high schools and speak, people come up to us with real, legitimate, raw problems. And so we've got to figure out a way to get their attention, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so what you're about to see is called the box. And so you're in a high school, we're not in church, it's going to be raw, it's going to be aggressive at the end, has some Jesus stuff, I'm going to come up and talk, and then we'll get into some churchy testimony stuff, okay? So just bear with me. But it is a phenomenal, amazing tool to reach the young people of this generation. And that's what most of the people that are called into the San Diego School of Ministry are. They're called to reach a generation of unreached people. This is called the box.
So the scripture indicates that God comes down into Abram's tent. God comes in and he gets Abram. He gets him. He pulls him outside. God says, look now. Count them if you're able to. He's numbered them and he's named them. That's not about stars. It's about people.
Jesus, blood never fails me. Jesus, blood never fails me. Jesus, blood.
I'll be honest. This part, even as I sat there, is pretty difficult for me. Because as I see the box, I don't see people just getting beat up. When we created this tool 10 or 15 years ago, we took stories from people who came into the program and said, what did you feel like internally when you were constantly being badgered by the drugs? What do you tell a 30-year-old woman that comes to you and says, I want to be in your school of ministry. I was a missionary on the field, and my husband left me there. We were pastors, and I feel like I'm about to break. I could look her in the eye and say, oh, you just need to pray more and read your Bible. Those things are good. Those things are necessary. But one of the most powerful tools we have is mentoring by our testimony. School of Ministry is taking people on a path, an internship, where we are actually mentoring them. The thing I am most proud of is not just the academics and the hands-on training. All of you know that have full-time jobs. You learned a lot at school, but that first year on your job, you learned 10 times more than you ever learned in school about how to do your craft. And they get to learn that. But they walk out of the School of Ministry with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. See, when they don't turn in their homework, we don't just say, that's an F. We sit down, why? Why aren't you doing what God's called you to do? It's accountability. They sign up not just for academics. They sign up to be accountable to someone so that we can help mold and mentor them into the men and women of God they were created to. And you have to understand this, created to be. All of you have a calling on your life. We're about to see testimonies of all six of our students. Some of it's acted out, some of it will be spoken. Powerful testimonies. We have people back there that could walk into most churches and be the youth pastor right now, but they're choosing to come back and invest in our youth because they're in love with this church. And they know that God's still doing things. We have people that have written books. They could do a lot of different things, but they came and they said, I want to be held accountable. I want to know God. I want the chains broken. And realize this. As a father, I want my kids to be successful. Talk about, you know, Cody's going to be a youth pastor and Sage might be a baseball player and Eli might run the world. I don't know. But the reality is this, I don't care what they get paid to do, but I know they're called to Jesus, and that's the most important thing. The thing I care about most is that they serve Jesus Christ for the rest of their life, and they lead people to know and love Jesus. That's my burning passion. When a young person goes into Bible college, only 40 to 50% of them stay walking with Jesus in Bible college. Secular college, it's in the 20% of people that were born and raised in the church. Of the 300 students that have graduated the School of Ministry, over 90% are serving and walking with Jesus. That's the biggest mark of approval that we could ever have. They're walking out their faith. You were called. You have a testimony. The power of the blood of Jesus can release and break the chains in our life and create a testimony that can change people's lives. Some of you are called to sign up and do summer serve. Some of you are called to help Heidi with junior high ministry because we have like three times more services. Some of you are called to pack a bag next week, put it in the back of your car, behind your car, to feed people. Some of you helped us pack over 50,000 meals for Haiti. We are all called to do something using our testimony. This, what you're about to see, are the testimonies of our young people.
depressed and alone. My life is followed by an ever-present mirror there to condemn every step I take, and I can't shake the raging self-hatred that lurks close behind. But am I even advancing at all? It feels like I'm backtracking, running from an unseen foe bent on my destruction. There's so much fear sucking me in. It feels like I'm suffocating, like I won't make it out alive. Where have you been, God? Do you not know how I got to this point? My childhood was ripped from me and I was lost. Somewhere in the tide of insecure children looking to make themselves feel better. My pain, their enjoyment. Their words follow me, humiliating me, making me a social abomination. I can't be myself. I can't escape myself. Their words, their lies dance inside of my head, telling me that nothing I do is good enough. I'm a prisoner to my own mind, a lifetime sentence that adds fuel to the mirror that is just as broken as I am. I searched my whole life, God, a way to find you, a way to feel better. I thought I was the one chasing you, God, but I was wrong. You were the one chasing me from the very beginning. You were there in my darkest hour. You were there when I gave up hope. Though I pushed you away, you wouldn't be persuaded to anything less than seeing me through. Not only did you give your all for me, you rescued my soul so that I could give my all for you. Through your victory on that cross, I'm not a victim, but a victor. I may be weak, but your spirit is strong in me. You say that I am precious and valuable, created for a divine purpose, that despite what I feel, my life means something. I am a daughter of the King, worth far more than this world would ever afford me to be. Therefore, quitting isn't an option. And I can finally say that it is well with my soul. It is finished. I am free.
School, I had it all together. Off to college for nursing because this is where you wanted me. Or so I thought. Class after class and farther from you, I got. Why am I failing? I study so hard. But it isn't enough. God, I thought this is what you wanted. Are you even listening? I look to new friends, friends that are loving and caring. And they live by this motto that says this, that live free and love all. I climb deeper into where they're finding happiness. Deeper into the root of their joy, I found that it wasn't joy at all. Or was it? Could I go deeper? There has to be more to this. I open my mind to a new high of psychedelics. I can see everything. The sky literally paints a picture on the waters, but it isn't enough. It never will be enough. I grow deeper in the world of substance abuse. My life becomes all about the next high, with the music pumping and my heart full of joy, ready to explode. I had no idea what had once felt so great was now ripping my soul away. I needed more. But wait, what about school? In the midst of this insanity, I have lost sight and I have fallen to no solid ground to stand on. Everything was perfect in the beginning, but my mind is not sure where to go. What about now? Pupils dilated, hurting spine, bloody nose. I'm out of my mind and I'm not sure where to go. Desperately chasing a place where I can once again feel strong, finding you next to me, saying, I'm enough. But why weren't you there? I was intensely torn between the pleasures of this world and the love for you. I was ready to be done, but I couldn't quit. I looked at myself in the mirror and said, is this the man that I've become? But no, I will not let this demon called addiction take ruling of my life. I'm done. Lord, take this from me that I may find fullness in you. God, I will once again find your solid foundation. Lord, I will fight to take hold of your hand that I may have peace. You are all I need. You are everything that I need. For the beauty that I once saw in this world, now I see it in you, and I am full. The friends that I once sinned with are the friends that later on that I am able to share the gospel to. God, you use the failure of my schooling to open my eyes to the true calling that you had on my life. I am liberated. I am redeemed. I am saved. And I am set free. Like the lady who touched the cloak of Jesus and was healed, my addicted spirit was healed by the compelling love, and my chains fell off.
My entire life, I've looked to the world for freedom, only to find pain. But because of what Jesus did on the cross, I'm free.
My name is Mario, and I walked into this year fighting with fear and acceptance. What if I'm not good enough, I thought. But God challenged me to put my trust in him, and now I walk with his assurance over my life.
My name is Becca, and before I started my internship, I didn't know how I was going to be good enough to do all the things God called me to do. But through this year, he's made me confident and showed me that he makes me qualified.
I'm Marissa, and before coming to San Diego, I was stuck in this rut of depression that I never thought I'd be able to overcome. But God has already overcome, and this year he's renewed my way of thinking so that instead of drowning in my pain, I now rise above it.
I'm Mackie. I came into this year feeling unprepared and I had a lack of confidence, but after this year of training and growth and doing what God has called me to do, I feel equipped now more than ever to lead youth of this generation.
I'm Braxton. Since coming to San Diego School of Ministry, I've been able to find my fullness in Christ, that it wasn't about self-achievement, but an uncompelling love. It was so great that it compelled me to love people for who they are and where they're at.
You know, I'm so blessed to have had the opportunity to walk this journey with every single one of them and watch them transform in front of my eyes. You know, they all have stories. You didn't see all of their full stories, but they all have a story about how God used them and transformed them. And you know, some of them, their stories could have, and in some cases should have, destroyed them completely. And you know, I'm sitting down there in my chair and I was watching this whole thing happen. And God specifically told me, Kelly, there's people in this room that are trapped. He used that word. And you know, some of you are dealing with tragedies in your own life. Maybe it's divorce. Maybe it's you lost your job. Maybe it's health. Maybe you just don't know where to go. Maybe one of these words on the screen really stuck out to you and you're having an internal tragedy. But I have great news for you. We have a God who is in the business of taking your tragedy and transforming it into a testimony. There is, though, just one small thing that can get in the way of that. And that is me, myself, I, you, us. We can very easily get in the way of God taking that tragedy and transforming it into a testimony. And I know it's hard to believe that I could get in the way of that, that you could get in the way of that, but it's true. See, because our God loves us, but he gives us a choice. We have a choice to allow him to have control of our lives or not. And now let me be clear. I 100% realize from their lives, from my own life, that some of our tragedies were not our choice. We did not, it was out of our control. But, and some of you aren't going to like this, but it's a big one. At some point, you have to make the decision. Am I going to stay where I am? Or am I going to allow God to move me forward and change it into a testimony? Because he can. No matter what stage of it you're in. Maybe you can say, Kelly, I'm right in the midst of my tragedy. I can't even see the end to my testimony. That's where God says, take my hand, trust me, and I'm going to walk through it with you. See, there's a key element in all of their lives that allowed them to get to where they can talk about a testimony. And that is, they decided to build their life on the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we look in Matthew 7, verses 24 through 27, it's going to help us talk about today the reality of your foundation. And when you look at that verse, the header of it says, build your house on the rock. Or in other words, build your life on Jesus Christ. It goes on to say, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock, or had been founded on the Lord Jesus Christ. See, I would dare to say that the most important decision in your life is building your foundation on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's one of the most important decisions that you will make. Because further down in this verse, it talks about those who don't build their life on the Lord Jesus Christ. They built their life maybe on their own wisdom, on their strength, on their finances, on themselves. And the rains came, and the rains and the floods came, and it blew and against their lives. And they fell. And it was a great fall, it says. See, because all of those things in the world, they will fail you at some point. People will fail you. Finances will fail you. Your own wisdom will fail you. But the Lord Jesus Christ will never fail you. See, like I said, we all have tragedies. See, in my life, Growing up, my family was picture perfect. We were the Prince family. Even our name was perfect. And my parents were highly involved in our church. My mom worked at the school that we went to because they sent all five of us kids. Yes, I said five kids to Christian school. And for those of you that have ever sent maybe one child to Christian school, it's very expensive. But my parents worked hard. And I'll never forget, one night I was home alone. I was 17 years old. And the phone rang, which wasn't abnormal. The phone rang, I picked it up, and I heard the inside of rustling in someone's pocket. I'm sure you've all done this, accidentally dialed someone's house, or just accidentally dialed on your own phone. And so I'm listening, and I went to the caller ID, and it was my dad's cell phone. And I was like, oh, he's done it again. This is normal. And I decided I'd listen in a little bit longer. And as I listened in, I got hard evidence that my father was having an affair on my mother. And we later found out that it had been going on since I was 11 years old. And see, that moment in my life could have destroyed my life. I could have questioned everything my parents raised me to believe in. But 2 years later, 2 years earlier, excuse me, when I was 15 years old, I was at youth camp and I gave my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was because of that foundation that I was able to make it through that tragedy. And what the enemy wanted to use to destroy me only made me stronger. See, because now I can stand up here before you and I can talk about that story and give God all the glory. Yeah. And I can also say that all five of my siblings have given their lives fully to Christ and are in some form of ministry to this day. See, but I know, like I said, God used that tragedy to build my foundation. And I believe God can do the same thing in your lives. He can take your tragedy and help build your foundation to trust in him and to allow him to make a testimony to bring him glory and honor. How do I know this? In James 1, 2 through 8, it says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so you may be mature, complete, and lacking of nothing." Let God finish his work. Let him have control of your tragedy, please. He wants to use it. He wants to make your life better. He wants to be able to make a testimony out of that tragedy. You just gotta let it go. See, because God, I believe that God takes your tragedy, makes it into a testimony to lay the foundation so that you can fully walk out the calling that God has on your life. God has a calling on every single one of your life, just like Pastor Jeff was talking about. And they're all different. They're all different callings. We all have different gifts because the world can only handle one of some of us, Pastor Harry. It's true. But no matter what your calling is, no matter where you want to go, no matter what you want to do, maybe you want to stand on stage and tell people your testimony like I'm doing today. Or maybe you just want to be an awesome mother. They're both just as important, but they both still need one thing. They need a solid foundation on the Lord Jesus Christ to be able to fully work in the calling that God has on your life. And see, all of these students made that decision. They decided, God, I want to be everything you created me to be. So they decided their path was to take 8 months and fully dedicate it to God and say, God, take me, shape me, mold me into everything you created me to be. And you know, I tell our youth students this all the time. If you want to be everything you were created to be, then you need to spend time with the one who created you. We go so many different places trying to figure out How do I figure myself out? How do I get better? How do I become everything that God created me to be? You go to your creator. I think about it like this. If my iPhone breaks down, I am not taking it to Android. They will look at it and not even know what to do with it. So you need to take your life and give it to the one who created it, right? It seems easy, but for some reason, we like to make things hard. But that's okay. If God is your foundation and you are trusting him with your tragedy and fully obeying his words, then he will fully be able to use you in his kingdom. See, building a foundation, you can ask any of these students. They will affirm this immediately. Building a foundation in your life will not be the easiest thing in your life. And many of you know that. It won't be the easiest thing, but like I said before, it is the most important thing. You can ask anyone who has ever built a house. If that foundation is not properly set, that house is not going to be able to fully live up to its potential. See, because I studied this, and I could tell you story after story of gorgeous homes. But their foundation was bad, and the house never lived up to its full potential. And they were unsafe and unlivable. Don't let that be you. Don't let that be you. Don't come to a place where you didn't put your foundation where it needed to be, and then you find yourself unable to walk out the calling that God has on your life. See, I'm going to leave you with this. Make a choice today to allow God to transform your tragedy into a testimony, to lay your foundation so you can fully walk out your calling. If you please bow your heads with me as I pray. God, I thank you for everything that you have done in these interns' lives, and that God, they can stand here today and say that maybe I had a tragedy in my life, but you transformed it into my testimony. God, I pray for every single person here in this room today that are in the midst of a tragedy, or maybe it's a tragedy that happened a long time ago, but they need to make that decision today to allow you to have control, to either walk them through that or to overcome it, so that you can lay that foundation, so that they can fully be everything you created them to be. See, because the enemy wants to hold them back, but God, I pray that you would release them, that they would allow you to have full control of their lives. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Now that's a good word. No one can bring a testimony and a triumph out of tragedy like Jesus. That's a good word, Pastor Kelly. The young pastor can bring it, can't she? Yeah. Well, from all of us to all of you, we are so proud of you. We have fallen in love with you. We have seen Jesus in you, and you have made a difference for Jesus in this church. And for that, we all thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Whoa. Yeah. It's awesome. You know, in a world, y'all can be seated. In a world that knows increasingly less and less about God, you all have committed your lives to declaring the good news that Jesus loves all people, that Jesus can save all people. And as I've had the privilege of walking with you and talking with you and serving Jesus alongside of you over the course of this year, I want you all to know that you have totally eliminated my concern about the health of tomorrow's church. Jesus has put his church in good hearts and in good hands. Mario, my brother, you scare me when you dance. Because I got no rhythm, brother. But know this, that God has anointed you with the power to convince people who feel invisible that they are visible to Jesus. Mackie, my brother, one of the humblest young men that I know. And if I could, I would give you a medal for humility, except I'm wearing it. But know this, that God has given you authority to preach the gospel. And when you do, I find myself saying yes to Jesus all over again. Michael, my brother, even though you pray with your eyes open, which is not legal, did you know that? Know this, that God has put his favor on you. And when you lead us in worship, we sense and see Jesus high and lifted up. And Brax, I don't know why you guys didn't set my order. Braxton, my brother, I thought I was enthusiastic for Jesus. But know this, God has put the mantle of his strong name on you. Which means that if I was lost, I would want to be found by the Jesus that you know, the Jesus you follow, and the Jesus you love. Becca, my little sister. When I grow up, I want to have a heart like you. Because you have this heart. It's got this deep river devotion to Jesus. And it tattoos the hearts of everyone who's around you. Becca. I mean, Marissa. I know your name, girl. My little sister. When I grow up, I want to encourage people like you do, not just with your beautiful smile, and not with all those little sticky notes you leave around the office for us pastors that say, "Pastor, I'm praying for you." But you have a way, when a pastor delivers a message that doesn't go beyond the ceiling, you are one of the first to come up to us to say, "Pastor, that message, it spoke to me." You all have honored the name of Jesus within these walls. And you will honor the name of Jesus beyond these walls. And right now, I'm going to invite all the people of God to stand. I'm going to invite you to raise a hand towards heaven and then press it forward towards the young men and the young women on this stage as I pray down God's blessing upon you. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, this is a first century moment in a 21st century church. 2,000 years ago, you stood up in a synagogue and you opened the scroll of Isaiah and said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to open the eyes of the blind, to set the captive, to set the oppressed one free, and to declare that this is the year of the Lord's favor." We believe that scripture is again fulfilled today in these young people. And so together we pray down your anointing on them. We pray down your favor upon them. We pray down the authority of your strong name upon them. And we pray that you would empower them through your Spirit to help the helpless, to bring hope to the hopeless, to heal the hurting, and to bring your gift of salvation to the lost. We pray that through the power of your Holy Spirit, you would allow them to complete the call that you have put on their life. And we pray this all in the strong name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, I introduce to you the 2014 graduating class of the San Diego, your San Diego School of Ministry. Yeah. Congratulations, you guys. Thank you. Yeah. Yay, God. And now I pray that God would bless us all in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Morning, everybody.